Good morning, Mrs. Craig.
Good morning.
If the Brexit will be delayed, how to avoid a similar chaos in a few months' time?
That's a very good question. And as one avenue is shut down, hopefully the avenue of no deal Brexit, a whole series of questions now open up. What is now clear is that March the 12th is the final date for that meaningful vote to be put to a Commons vote. We know that the day afterwards, we will have the ability, if that vote is not passed, to vote against leaving without a deal. But that raises a whole series of questions about the terms that would be offered for any extension to the Article 50 process. So I'm afraid the uncertainty continues.
Are you sure this avenue of the no deal is shut down?
There can be no guarantees around it until the government has made a legislative amendment to it, because at the moment the EU withdrawal bill, which has passed through Parliament last year, says that we will leave on the 29th of March. So the government will need to move a statutory instrument or a very short bill in the Commons in order to make sure that we don't leave on that day. And of course, there would be many people that would vote against it. So the unpredictability and the uncertainty continues. But I think what we have demonstrated in previous votes is that there is a majority in Parliament against leaving with no deal.
Do you consider that two or three additional months are enough time to reach a deal?
No, I don't. And I think as the avenues shut down, the EU will only grant an extension to Article 50 if there is a particular purpose in mind. So what's clear is that Prime Minister May's tactics is to carry on using the extension period to try and get her deal through. And that is not a tactic that, in my view, will be successful.
If two or three additional months are not enough, how to delay Brexit without holding European Parliament election in the UK?
Well, I think we could get away with it if the extension was, say, till September. I think European Union lawyers and politicians would be content with that. But I've been very clear that, in a way, the Brexit that was promised to the British people back in 2016 is not the Brexit that is being delivered. It is clear that our economy will be smaller under any scenario. It is clear already from the decisions by Honda to shut its factory in the UK, Nissan to bring its X-Trail manufacturing back to Japan, and the warnings from Jaguar Land Rover and Ford about the future investment and the impact that will have on jobs, that people's jobs are being lost even before Brexit has taken place. And it is a blindfold Brexit. People should have the right to decide if they want to give the government their consent to proceed. And we need to do that in a people's vote.
What is your answer to those who might say, we voted to leave the EU, so we have to leave the EU?
Well, people voted for a variety of reasons to leave the EU. Some people wanted to stop immigration, and the government has been very clear that immigration won't stop. Some people voted to get more money into the National Health Service, and it's very clear to anybody who uses the National Health Service that it is not getting the funding it needs to stop the crisis it is enduring. Some people voted because they wanted sovereignty and they wanted decisions to be made here in the UK. There are a variety of different reasons, but what was not made clear was the impact on jobs and on the economy. So I think people have the right now to give their judgment on the last 2-3 years of negotiations and on the future relationship.
I listened on your website to your speech about the changes to chemical regulations to Brexit. There were 5 or 10 MPs in the House. How do you explain the little interest compared to the big Brexit debates where nobody's talking about the details?
Well, what I would say is that there are 80,000 people employed in the UK's chemical industry, and it's our second largest export to the EU after cars. And so we've seen the car industry take one massive hit. The next big hit is going to be our chemicals industry. You're right. The technical detail around leaving is not well understood. The government is legislating in haste. In my view, it's legislating badly. We all think we know a little bit about what Brexit will mean, but there are a lot of known unknowns and there are a lot of unknown unknowns. And it's the unknown unknowns that are really keeping me awake at night, because it's the food shortages, it's the food prices going up. And if Brexit happens, people will come back to us as elected politicians and say, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you stop this? And we are, our country is doing the wrong thing for our people. And I think you're right. The easy soundbite on the TV and radio and this, you know, adherence to, well, people voted, so we have to do what they told us to do. Well, they told us to do one thing, which is more money for the NHS, and they told us to take back control, and they told us to stop immigration. 2 years on, I think they'll be telling us to save their jobs, to make sure their food prices stay stable, and to make sure we have a clean drinking water supply in this country, and people's desires change radically over time.
Were you surprised when Mr. Corbyn announced on Monday his party would back a second referendum on Brexit?
I was hopeful. I mean, this was our conference policy that was agreed in back in September. So, no, I think he's done the right thing.
Why did Mr. Corbyn change his mind?
It's the democratic view of the majority of Labour members. We are a Remain party. We are an internationalist party. We had the confirmatory vote in 75 to confirm our membership of the EU. And the European Union has been really good for workers' rights. When Mrs. Thatcher was closing things down in the 1980s, it was the only thing that was saving British trade unions. It's been brilliant for our environment. It's been good for us as providers of services, of digital creative services, but also as brilliant high-tech manufacturers as well. So our membership of the EU has been good for our country.
You supported Remain. Your constituency voted Leave. How do you talk to the people in Wakefield about the Brexit?
I was out on Saturday talking to people about Brexit. I spoke to one gentleman who works for Caterpillar. He couldn't remember how he voted, and that tells me that he probably voted Leave. But he said every single, there's a strange case of amnesia, but he said every single person who worked in his company was now terrified of leaving and really wanted the chance for a second referendum and the chance to vote Remain.
Mrs. Craig, you are a very experienced Member of Parliament. What is the atmosphere in the House of Commons in these days?
Well, Prime Minister's questions, half-empty benches. There's a feeling of weariness, of exhaustion. On the positive side, there is a lot of cross-party working between Labour and Conservatives and non-aligned groups to do the best that we can to stop this looming catastrophe. But I also think there is something about there's a brittleness about things. Things feel very uncertain and very unpredictable, and we are, you know, stumbling blindfold to the cliff edge. It reminds me of the film Thelma and Louise. But it's not going off the cliff. It's how you land at the bottom that really matters.
Mary Craig, many thanks.
Great. Thank you. All the best.